We're all here, we are all gathered. By all, I mean my good self, Jenny Eclair, here in South East London. Judith, are you with me in Oxfordshire land?
I'm with you. I'm in the summer house and looking out the gorgeous sunny day. Beautiful, Judith, beautiful sunny day in Oxfordshire.
You are blessed. You are blessed. Daisy, our producer, has told me I've just had to close my window because I've got a bit of an echo on my sound. I, of course, now am unbuttoning my shirt. So do excuse me while I record this podcast topless. Well, try not to wank yourselves, silly lads. Now,
Judith, they're all turning off. They're all pressing pause.
Come back.
Absolutely.
I'm wearing my fourth best bra.
God's sake, don't take your bottom off. I know what you're like. I know you've been known to wander around that house of yours with just your pants on and a top. I know, you've told me in the past.
Oh, yes.
Rain yourself in, woman.
If you don't want to see, shut your eyes. Now then, and imagine something better. Before we go any further, there's something we've got to bring up. We've got to bring to the attention of anybody left listening. And that is the fact that there's something called the British Podcast Awards.
Oh, yes. Well done, Jenny
Eclair. Do you think it's vulgar bringing this up?
I do not. I think it's very strategic and we need all the viewers, listeners and the votes. Yes, go on then. You do a proper thing. Go on, be the
professional broadcaster. Well, I don't know, Judith, because it only came to my attention this morning on Twitter where a young man called Tom said, I voted for Older and Wider in the British Podcast Awards.
Yeah,
so basically, I've retweeted that. And then I've gone online to see if I can vote for myself. And you can, but you've got to put in your email address. And then they send you an email and you've got to verify that you are. So you can only do it once, I think.
Well, you thought you might do it on repeat all day. I'd have done that, absolutely. What's the award called?
It's called the British Podcast Awards, and I don't know whether there are categories or anything like that. Maybe Daisy knows. Daisy, do you know anything about the British Podcast Awards?
I do, yeah. Yeah. I think the category that you are referring to is the Listener's Choice Award, and people can go to britishpodcastawards.com/vote, and they can vote there.
So, in other words, I've just got this, Judith. We haven't been nominated for anything. Daisy, is that right?
That is right. You haven't been nominated for anything. Awful.
Well, it's slightly disappointing. You know, I mean, if I'm honest, disappointing. However, you know, on the kind of TV awards and on the BAFTA thing, they have that kind of the People's Choice, don't they?
Yeah.
Which, you know, you think, you haven't been nominated by your professionals. But on the other hand,
Are we the Anton Deck of podcasts?
Precisely. There's a lot going for this. Listen, gang, we need you to vote for us, okay? Yeah. We need to stop what you're doing or immediately come back from that walk when you've been laughing your heads off and do a vote and get some other... Yeah, we do. We need some bloody votes.
Will you do a vote? Yeah, if we're the Ant and Deck, Bagsy me the Ant, because I'm the heavy drinking one that occasionally, sometimes, should maybe have to go to a rehab centre.
Yeah, but Deck is the little one. He's the little scrawny one. I don't know that I want... I don't know that I like this.
Well, we're not Ant and Deck anyway. Yeah. We are Jenny and... What's your name?
We're older and wider.
We are. And it would be lovely.
Or older and windier, as you, by mistake, put in the heading of an email the other day. Did you notice?
I did. I'm sorry about that, Judith.
It's a Freudian slip.
What can I say? I've had a lot of cannellini beans this week. And, I am doing farts. Like, I mean, not even... I can't even stop them, Judith. It's not like I've got any control. And I certainly haven't got any control about the sound quality of them. And they're just really, they're comedy farts. They're not little whistly ones or, you know, something that could be the squeak of a chair. They go...
Look, just because you heard about my soft fig farting down the whole length of the lake.
Yeah. Yeah,
suddenly, it's no good trying to compete, Jenny Eclair. I mean,
not
I'm sorry.
Because you have set the standard very high.
You are so on the nursery slope.
I must try harder. Oh, God. I might have to warn Jeff that he's in for a difficult week because I'm just not going to give up until I have soiled probably a piece of furniture. Because I'm so desperate to have my sofa recovered. I really am.
Well, that's one way of doing it, isn't it? I mean, do you know what I mean? I think there's a lot of logic in that.
I do. Judith, We're let's gather ourselves.
Yes, indeed.
It is the second week of Podcast Light. How are you finding it?
I'm finding that, you know, I'm quite, it's the normal, isn't it? It's now, it's not even now the new normal. I actually think it is normal. I mean, I'm sort of, you know, I've now entirely forgotten what sort of living in the outside world was really like. So much so that I saw a parking ticket the other day. Not a parking, fine ticket. No, don't panic. But, you know, in the car, I've hardly been in the car. You know, those things that you stick on the window, you know, where you park.
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh my God, do you remember when we used to have to do that?
Do in London, of course. You go to Dulwich Park and a couple of years, up until this year, this past year, you could park in Dulwich Park for free. And then suddenly they snuck in parking charges. And one would have imagined that during a pandemic, they might have taken those down. But you had to pay.
Oh, that's mean, isn't it? Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. But I think, yes, this now feels like the normal, doesn't it? It feels like it's going to be really disorientating when we can sort of do what we like. I mean, I don't mind it really at the minute. I mean, obviously, apart from the fact that the reason it's happening, in that, you know, I don't have to be sociable. I could be very selfish with my time, missing the girls like mad. But, you know, I'm kind of getting used to it, really. How about you?
I feel a slightly trepidatious about what the next step would be. I mean, for me, it's just a bit like existing in a very long bank holiday weekend in 1976 when a few things were open, but not very much. But the weather's very nice. So that's, you know, there are pluses. And for women of our age who like flowers, we can get a lot of joy from just, I go to Peckham Rye and the peonies are about to burst. And literally, it's a bit like waiting for grandchildren. I sort of keep wanting to go back to see if it's actually
really
happened yet.
Really? Yeah. You're not drawing up a chair, are you? It's not that bad.
No, I'm still not sitting down in public spaces. I'm still keeping moving along. Yeah. I'm finding that in London, a few more food shops and takeaways are opening up.
Yes.
There's a sort of very nice bread shop in Dulwich Village. And the other day, literally, there were queues around the block. It was as if people were queuing to go and see the Beatles. It was mad.
So did you get some? Did you join the queue?
No, I didn't. I'm not joining a queue that long.
Yeah. But that's actually rather nice, isn't it? In that things that perhaps we would have taken for granted, like a takeaway coffee and a gorgeous bit of patisserie, it's suddenly a great thrill. I mean, in a sense, that's quite nice, isn't it?
I think I'll feel happier and like we really can breathe again and we've got out of this when I feel safe enough to get on a London bus, and I certainly don't feel that yet.
Oh, well, that's a long way off, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
a long way off. So we're a long way from normal. And also, my livelihood, let's not forget.
Oh, God, don't tell me about non-existent, is it?
Absolutely. You know, the sort of the live entertainment and the TV industry and all that sort of thing. But if you had, just a hypothetical question, Judith. If you had children of primary school age, would you be sending them back to school on June the 1st?
Oh, of course I would. Oh, my God, I'd be absolutely desperate. I think knowing what I was like with small children, I'd be, ironing the uniforms and getting the gym kit ready now, wouldn't you? Oh, my God. Yes, of course I would. I mean, how many kids have had it? I mean, you know, a minuscule amount. I would.
We see, Judith, that you surprise me because my answer, if I had primary school age children, A, it would be a medical miracle. And B, I would only send them back, and I put this in a tweet the other day and it got quite a lot of likes. I would only send them back when George and Charlotte go back.
Oh, yes, like you're thinking,
That would be my yardstick, because I think if posh kids and royalties are allowed to go back, then my child can go.
Yeah, good enough for them. It's good enough for it. Well, yeah, I wonder whether they are going back. They will, though, won't they? Because because I think that William and what's the name, Kate, they're the role models, aren't they? So they will.
Well, this is why I'm keeping a very close eye on it, Judith, because those children are not going back to school without a lot of press interest. And if they're going through those gates, then I reckon you know, yeah. the nation yeah. will send their yeah. children
yeah.
back.
Yeah. But you know, in Denmark, they're having all their lessons outside when they can. And what a good idea. I think it's like the hairdressers.
Well, apart from the ones with, you know, hay fever and the what
well,
are called the
yeah,
birds.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always
kids
a
flag, like me
isn't there?
That would have to go in the shade.
Well, yes, all right.
Can I sit in the shade? I'm burning now. I mean, can you imagine? Not only would they have to do all that hand washing and everything, then they'd have to be slathered up with a factor 50. Oh, have you got your hat on?
Yeah. But I would, do you know, when I was a kid, that was always the thing that I looked forward to most, is when occasionally in the summer term, they'd say, today we're going to have lessons outside. Yay! I think
You've
I was always an outdoor
like
person. Yeah. And I didn't realise, I love some lessons outdoors. I really do.
But I know when we first started writing together, I remember this so well. And we used to live in Hexham, which is a beautiful, beautiful market town. Yeah. But by God, it could get cold up there. Do you remember? And I remember the first time I went to stay with you, and you had this beautiful house with a big garden. And I think it was about April, something like that. And you said, you looked out of the kitchen window. And there was this sort of vinegary, watery, piss yellow stain in the sky. And you said, oh, look, the sun's out. Why don't we write outdoors? And I thought, are you mental? It's about 10 degrees.
Did I make you do it?
Yes, of course you did. I'm always very good at making my teeth chatter quite theatrically. So I'll be sitting there going...
Yes, you were. You were a complete wet blanket. I absolutely remember.
Yes,
I do remember that. But also, I remember many, many times we'd be writing in your study upstairs. It would be a sunny day. And I'd be like a child looking outside. Can I go outside?
No, you can't. No, we haven't got a proper desk outside. We haven't got computers outside. We're not going outside. There's no plugs outside, and we're not going. Simple as that. Do you understand?
You could be very bossy, Jenny and Claire. Because, yes, you do. I remember all of that, and then I'd say, is it nearly lunchtime yet? It's not 1 o'clock. You're not having lunch till 1 o'clock. That's the rule. God almighty, you would have made a good teacher.
I would have made a terrible teacher, Judith, because I'd have resorted to physical violence on many, many occasions. I'd have been one of those spiteful, nippy teachers. I'd have gone for the soft flesh underneath their arms and just been a little pinch like that. So it's a good job I'm not a teacher.
It is rather, isn't it? Yes, it's a long time since I've pinched anybody or bitten them. But you suddenly brought it all back.
Oh, I can recommend it highly.
I remember Ellen. Oh, sorry, I was going to tell you this. Ellen had a terrible argument when she was little with my best friend's daughter. Okay, we've been sent to parks. And you know, it's like when you've been on holiday with another family, and it's okay, but then you know, tempers get a bit afraid.
Reaches
the point. We'd reached the point, and it was the day we were going home, and obviously there was a real really bad argument between Ellen and the other girl, and a terrible squabble, and unfortunately Ellen bit the other girl, bit her so that it really showed your teeth marks.
Yeah,
and there's no going back. You can't then, can you? Say, I don't think Ellen did.
You see, Ellen just goes further up in my estimation with that story. Anyway, Judith, you know, like we're in difficult industries at the moment for getting work done. I've had some work, Judith.
I know you have. Well, I know you have. I know you have. Are you going to tell the gang?
Yeah, because I told you ages ago, because I would, wouldn't I?
So excited.
But I didn't make it public until this week, because I just thought, well, there's a possibility they might dump you. And it was something I wanted to do very badly. It was the Grace and Perry Art Club. Oh, you know that thing we've been watching?
Oh, I love that programme. And I'm so proud of you, Jenny, that you're on it next week. I am utterly, utterly proud of you.
Yeah.
Go on, tell us.
Well, we had to film it indoors. Obviously. No plugs outside. Jeff and I had to film me doing a piece of artwork on our phones.
Your phones?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Amazing.
I know, on iPhones. So, I mean, you know, Jeff, because he used to be an art director at the TV Times.
Yeah.
So he happens to have a tripod for his camera. So we rigged up an iPhone on the tripod. We tried to do, I don't know if this worked because I won't see this until next Monday. And he tried to do a long shot while I also had my phone on a smaller tripod on the desk.
Ooh, multi-camera.
Ooh. Yes, Judy.
Swanky.
I know. It was quite a big to do. Anyway. I had to do a project. I was given homework. And the homework was, the theme was home.
Nice. Home, nice.
Right? Yeah. So I thought, oh, thank goodness it's not outdoors. So I had a bit of a mooch around the house before I chose a sort of, well, not quite a still life, but just a corner of my house, which I won't say now because, you know, I want people to watch the programme.
Yes.
But hopefully you'll recognise it when you see the piece of work.
Right.
You know, so that's what I've done this week. It was very exciting.
I'm thrilled. I'm really looking forward to seeing that. I love that show.
I think
it's, you know, I love him. I'm not quite sure why I love him, but I absolutely think he's got integrity and originality and brilliance. And I'm so pleased that you're on it because I think that, you know, the drawings that you've been doing every day in lockdown. First of all, let me say, a brilliant idea of yours. Brilliant. Brilliantly executed.
Well, I had to do something, Judy.
No, it's great. You know, I mean, it really is. It's, and
I can't
and you
bothered
must
to masturbate. I'd rather do drawings than masturbate. You know, I think a lot of young people might be doing lots of masturbating, but I think middle-aged people who don't have much garden, you have to do something, don't you? You've always been a cook, you see. You've been a baker and a cook and you've always had a lot of hobbies and you've got your garden and you've got your art studio. And I knew that I'd be spending a lot of time indoors feeling a bit panicky. So I thought it was very important to do something that
It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. And I'm really pleased that you've done it. I mean, mind you, if it goes on for months and months and months, my God, you're going to have quite a big exhibition, aren't you?
Jeff's going to start burning stuff, I think. No, I think some quality control would have to step in there and half of it would have to go. But anyway.
Yes.
Talking about home is the subject that, you know, is going to be on the Grace and Perry thing. But are you bored of being in your home?
I am a bit bored. Initially, I was really quite thrilled with the idea of, you know, because I'm, you know, often up and down to London and I'm busy and all blah, blah, blah. And I was really, you know, I'd often find myself saying to myself, well, I'm really enjoying this. You know, I don't know why I did this. I absolutely love it. Why do you need to go out? Ooh, I'm really liking this. But actually now I caught myself the other day thinking, I don't know why I thought about maybe a hotel bed or. And sometimes I've been thinking about Madeira. Do you remember Madeira when I went away to Madeira just before lockdown? And you just think, well, that feels like it just feels like another universe. The idea of being in a hotel, isn't that preposterous, really? Yeah. The idea, and actually exciting. Oh, my God, how exciting would that be?
I just think it's going to be a long time until we are allowed to do those leisure hops, you know, to capital cities, those city break things that really, really fond of as well. And I mean, I think it's just the idea of waking up in a different bed in cleaner sheets than I'm currently sleeping
in your case, certainly. That wouldn't be difficult, I'd imagine. But yes, you're right. So where would you wake up? Well, come on, tell me where
I think you and I share a thing. I think it's even a bigger passion for you than me, and it's pretty big for me, is I'd love a sea view. I'd like to wake up in a really clean bed and I'd like to open the curtains and see whether, I mean, we're recording this on a very beautiful day, seeing a blue sky and some sea.
But I don't think I've ever had, apart from once I can think, where we actually had a hotel room with a sea view, because they never give you the sea view unless you pay extra, do they? Mm. Mike would never, ever have let me pay for the sea view, ever, ever, ever.
Once we, Jeff and I, just a couple of years ago, actually, in fact, I think, oh God, I'm going to cry, I think.
Dear. Because you're thinking about it, go on.
Oh, no, it was half term and we were doing the Grumpy Four, we were on tour, and because ticket sales always slump down at half term because all the grandparents are looking after their grandchildren, we always took a week's break. from the tour. So me and Jeff, we slipped off to Mallorca for four nights it was in Mallorca. And because of my natural meanness, Judith, I said, you know, it's going to be so lovely and we're not going to be in the hotel room much, you know, forgetting that he's knocking on 70 even then. You know, we'll just get any old cheap old place and we'll just spend all day out on the beach and, you know, we'll find restaurants and it'll just be fun and we can get taxis into Palma and all this. Anyway, I chose this tiny little boutique hotel that, I don't know, it wasn't a boutique hotel. It was just a souped-up flop house on a really rough street in Puerto Plaza.
Oh, dear.
You're the sort of sixth street back from the front. And it overlooked Paddy's Bar. There was a Paddy's Bar opposite where they did some karaoke.
Oh,
and everybody was wearing football clothing. Well, of course, Jeff at this point, because, you know, his embarrassment levels and he just can't really cope with things like that. He was too scared to come out of the room. So we had one night there and then we were both so unhappy.
I bet you were. Oh, I know where this is going. I bet you I know where this is going.
To the hotel I've always looked at when we've gone to that bit of Puerto Plaza in Mallorca. And it's a little bit sort of for retired people, a little bit, you know, chinos and golf tops.
I'm loving it.
I just thought, Judith, I want service.
I know what you did. You went up to the reception, didn't you? I bet you did.
And you threw
money at it.
Well, I just said, have you got a room? Because at this point, we just had to get out. And it was one of those split-second things where you just thought, this could go either way. It's up to this, what this man says in the next 10 seconds as to whether we spend the rest of our holiday overlooking Paddy's Bar or whether we get a room in this much
I'm
nicer
feeling
hotel
the tension. I'm feeling, was, I'm
that
feeling
was once
the adrenaline.
Featured in an Agatha Christie.
Go on. Boom.
And he said, yes, sir, we do happen to have a room. Oh, nice, nice double room. And we had, and I said, oh, when would it be free? He said, midday. And it was 10 o'clock. So got our bags and stuff. We came back. And he just said, I'll take you to your room. And I just thought, again, lap of the gods, this is, I don't know what this is going to be. Is it? It'll be round the back overlooking the bins. We'll be down a passageway through to the annex. We'll go warring our way down until we're still six rows back from the seat. Judith.
Oh, you're not on the roof.
Oh, my God. Oh, he opened this room. He opened this door to this room. This white expanse of luxury. And there to the right was a balcony, a large balcony with padded sun lounges. Overlooking the sea! Honestly, it's making me almost weep remembering.
Oh, Jenny, I thought you might be heading for the sea view, but padded sun lounges on the, not even a corner one. You're not even on the corner.
It was on the corner, Judith. It was, which meant the room was huge. The balcony was huge.
Can I tell you about two hotel rooms that Mike and I had? One followed by the other, okay? Okay, the first one was in India. I had a disastrous holiday in India years ago with Mike and I. Anyway, we arrived in Mumbai and we tried to get the midnight train and we missed it, or it was cancelled or some stupid thing. We had to find this hotel room. So we're talking in a taxi, you know, 12 o'clock at night, going round, trying to find a sodding room. In the end, we go into a hotel. Mike comes into the taxi, says, okay, we've got a room, all right? That's the good news. Bad news is it's a dorm. And they had to wake up, all right? Get this. The only way we could have this is they had to wake up two people already sleeping in it to piss off. And basically so that we could have the room. So I drew the line at having a dorm room. It was so bad, you had to pay extra for a pillow, have to pay extra for a towel. All right, got the picture. Oh, no air conditioning. It was absolutely dreadful.
Poor Mike. Right? Poor Mike. I feel
quite. And of course, the midnight train was his idea. Yeah, terrible. I was in such a state.
I can imagine.
At one point, I thought somebody had linked my credit card, and I rang John Lewis.
What were they meant to do?
You know, it's the emergency number on the back of my John Lewis credit card. And I rang them. And I remember this woman in Birmingham saying, oh, you know, OK, we'll cancel the card. I was just such a tiz about that on the platform of the thing. Anyway, got to the hotel room and found the credit card. I hadn't even bloody lost it. Anyway, all that was happening.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible night. I barely slept. The next night, we went to this place. I mean, it was just, it was like so different in Sri Lanka. We were going from India to, we finished India, we're going to Sri Lanka. And we got to this place, and there was a mix-up with the booking and everything, and it wasn't quite the room we wanted, so they upgraded us for free to the only room we have ever had overlooking the sea, right? The room had its own pool, okay?
And not just a plunge pool. Was it a proper swimming pool?
Well, it wasn't big. It was a bit bigger than a plunge pool, but then it looked over the sea and all these palm trees. And it was like going from that to that. Yeah. It was in one, you know, one step. It was absolutely unbelievable. I didn't want to leave. I did not want to leave. I barely left the room. I tweeted, sent pictures to all my friends. Very irritating, isn't it, when you get a picture from your friends?
Yeah, but it's the best way to do it, Judith. It's the best way to do it, because the worst way to have done that would have been to have had the Sri Lanka room first and then gone to the dorm in India, because that would have been bad.
Yeah, Mike wouldn't have survived that. He wouldn't have lived to tell the tale after that.
Anyway,
hotels. Looking forward to that. So, Jenny Eclair, how have you been doing on the pie challenge that I set you?
Pie challenge has been completed.
Has it?
Yes. I haven't seen the evidence. I didn't have to queue for Sainsbury's. I went earlier yesterday.
I went at quarter to ten.
I went in. I thought, oh God, Judith set me the pie challenge. I thought, first thing I've got to do, of course, is buy a pie tin. Because have I got a pie tin? Of course I haven't got a pie tin. Then I found some short crust pastry. There wasn't much choice, Judith.
Right.
It was low on ready roll pastry. So I thought, well, it's summer now. I don't really want a steak and kidney. I'm going to make a sweet pie. I'm going to make an apple pie.
So I made Jeff an apple
and raisin pie.
So hold a minute, did you buy the pastry that is sweet, or did you buy the ordinary?
A short crust, but it had a picture of a rhubarb pie on it.
Very nice.
So I thought, remember, I'm wearing my mask and my glasses are steamed up. Can't see anything, so I'm just snatching. Ready roll pastry.
You're feeling your way through it round Sainsbury's, are you? Yeah.
Yeah. And so I've got that. And I buy some Bramley cooking apples. And I know I've got sugar in. And I buy some very expensive raisins, Judith. Very expensive indeed. They're sort of South African raisins or something.
Ooh.
And I thought I'll put a bit of cinnamon in, but I forgot that. But it didn't matter.
Very nice. So you did apple and raisin pie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice.
I've been adopting this really annoying American accent every morning to try and cheer us up. Because we've had this appalling infestation of flying ants. It's now gone on for three weeks.
Oh, God, has it got worse? Oh,
no, it's underhand, but we basically, we go through about a tin of Raid a day. And every morning I go see, how many critters we got? We got to go and sweep up the dead critters.
You are a riot to live with, aren't you, Jenny and Claire?
Yeah, and then Jeff bothers me with the Hoover.
Well, so I want to see a picture of your pie. I haven't seen evidence of this pie, which at the moment could be, as far as I'm concerned, virtual. So I'm
I'll send you a picture of the pie. I'll put a picture of the pie up on the Instagram.
Very nice. Was it successful? Was it nice? Did Jeff love it? Did he have two portions?
Oh, Jeff's not stopped eating. All he had for lunch yesterday was pie. This man has been wanting some pie for a long time,
if I may say so.
It's been pieless for years. It's been nearly 40 years of pie-free living. But he's got his pie, finally. Right. What we need to talk about now is grooming. Last week, I mentioned my feet, didn't I?
Not only did you mention, I think you described a shredding activity that you'd done on your hard skin.
I picked them.
The image has been in my head all bloody week. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And my feet look like a before photo for an advert for a product. So we got quite a few emails and Instagram messages mm-hmm. on this mm-hmm. very subject. Mm-hmm. And people were advising certain products. So I went online and quite a lot of the ones people, you know, said were good weren't available because, you know, the good stuff always goes, doesn't it? So yeah. I got some stuff anyway. I can't remember what the brand name is. I'll tell you next week if it's worked. And what you had to do was you had to put your feet in these plastic bags of a sea. And they were, the plastic bags were vaguely foot shaped, but they were huge, right? Because, you know, I've got quite small feet.
God, Jenny, so, they sound lethal.
Well, yes, Judith. Plastic bags filled with this kind of silicon gel. I mean, oh, I call it a hydrochloric acid peel, but I don't think it is that. It's a silicon gel with some kind of skin softening agent in it. I do not know what, but you had to tie these bags around your feet, right? And an hour later, it suggested you set an alarm. So obviously...
Jesus, otherwise it sort of eat through to your bone. Like, well, take all your skin off. Oh my gosh, that's absolutely terrifying. It sounds like oven cleaner. You know that stuff you get, you know the stuff that you put in the bags to clean the grill.
Obviously, I don't, Judith, but now you've mentioned that. Yeah. I'm going to get some, and if this stuff doesn't work on my feet, I'm going to go for oven cleaner.
Yeah, but anyway, go on then. So you put these bags on.
I tied them tight, and then after an hour, my alarm went off, and I went to rinse them off. Now, the tricky bit is that you have to wait for maybe up to a week for the skin to start properly shedding. And then according to some of our listeners, it's like a snake shedding its skin.
Oh, my word,
and
Jenny.
I think it's going to be a bit like, because my heels are very bad, I think it's going to be a bit like, you know, when you have a hard-boiled egg and you crack the shell and you take the shell off. And
Lovely, shiny, fresh egg.
Yeah, it's going to be like that.
Hasn't happened yet. So at the moment, have you still got this kind of exoskeleton of kind of snake skin? It's still there,
I've still
is it?
Got the thick, dry skin.
Oh,
and then
my
the rest of
word.
My of the skin, it looks like it's crackle glazed at the moment. It looks like my feet have been in a kiln and I've got a crackle glaze going on.
This is making my cysts bursting. Well, to be honest, this is better, isn't it? This sounds like a major... we need to see photos. I hope you've taken photos of it, of what it's like now, have you?
Well, it's not good now particularly. And
no, we want to see before and after.
Right, I'll take some photos. Okay, because at the moment it's still quite bad and the shedding has not begun. So I'd be desperately upset if there's no shedding. I really think there will be,
and I am seriously excited about that. We have had some emails from people saying that the cyst description, and of course now this will be in the same category, is, you know, it is a bit divisive. I think, you know, there's half of the gang that likes this, I think more than half the gang, and half that find that they really can't deal with it. So this is, you know, a sorry gang if you're feeling...
Apologies, but, you know, we have to cater for those that love a bit of bursting cyst. Yes. Right, so now it's time for our TV and books roundup.
Yes, I tell you what I've seen, and I'm sure you saw it too, which is Charlie Brooker's antiviral wipe. Did you see that? I loved it.
Yes, it was good fun. I thought it was well done.
Oh, you said, but you don't sound as if you were that enthusiastic about it. No, you weren't.
There's a knowingness to his work that he's so clever, it's kind of easy for him. I don't know.
He's clever, isn't he? No, but I loved it. I loved the idea that we were all watching that virus, you know, in China. Oh, yeah, whatever. Taiwan. Oh, whatever. Yeah. And then it sort of got closer and closer to home. No, I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it.
So what else have you seen?
Saw some streamed theatre from the Donmar Warehouse, which is very good, called Midnight Your Time. Some very nice pieces, which obviously shot and directed in lockdown. And actually, it's very nice when you see things that have been made made in the, you know, in the new normal, isn't it? It's actually it's a very good and a donation to the John Marr Warehouse at the end of the show.
Do you know what I've decided to do? 20 years after everybody else, we started watching The Sopranos. Have you ever seen it?
Oh, no, we didn't. But what a good idea. And have you started?
It's quite good.
Yeah, well, because people,
you know, like people
about
have said
it
for years, oh, it's really good and all that kind of, it's quite good. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Gonna stick with that.
Very good.
Other tip for our gang is that BBC iPlayer have put up 27 silver screen classics.
Oh, yeah.
Under their film category. And they include Citizen Kane and some great stuff from the 50s, a bit of Fred Astaire, some great Cary Grant films. I love Cary Grant. And it's really, they've been a bit slow doing this because I think that they should have put those up earlier in lockdown, but they're there now and there's some really good stuff. And also on iPlayer, there's a film called Chappaquiddick, which we all know is the story of Teddy Kennedy driving.
Oh, yes, where that woman drowned over the years.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, Judith. Yes. You see, I'm fascinated by a few stories. You know, there's loads of things, as with everybody, loads of things that are interesting. But Chappaquiddick is such another chapter in the Kennedy tragedies.
Yeah.
And of course, it wasn't even his tragedy. It wasn't Teddy's tragedy because he didn't die, of course. He got out of this car, went into a river. And I still have no idea, having watched the film, how he got out and she didn't. So how did he get out of the submerged car without her being able to get out?
Wow. Oh, well, no, I think that does happen. I mean, imagine getting out of a submerged car must be incredibly difficult.
Yeah, but once you've got a window open or a door open, why can the other person not get out? He must have accidentally kicked the door shut as he got out. Oh, it's all terribly tragic. If people don't know about the story, I'm sorry if this doesn't make much sense, but it's a really interesting...
Oh, yes, I might give that a go, because I think there is a sort of ghoulish fascination, isn't
with
there?
That with
all Kennedy-esque things, somehow.
Absolutely.
I might watch that. Very good.
And books-wise, I'm still listening to I Capture the Castle, which I think is brilliant, and I've just finished John Niven's The Fuck It List. And so next up on our shared Audible is 1, 2, 3, 4, which is Craig Brown's biography of the Beatles.
Oh, I bet that'll be good. He's the guy that wrote the biography about Princess Margaret, isn't he?
Yes,
is that
absolutely
right? Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I'm liking the sound of that.
Yeah, and it's such a clever title, 1, 2, 3, 4, because
isn't
in music you always go 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. But he's done 1, 2, 3, 4 because there were four Beatles.
So I wonder if he took the same approach, because the amazing thing about Craig Brown's book about Princess Margaret is, as I understand it, as I remember, he looked at all the people who'd written autobiographies and who had her in the index, had a sort of story. Is that right? Is that what he did?
Yeah, I think it's a similar thing with the Beatles. It's kind of a broken autobiography. So it's not a straightforward chronological story of, you know, oh, they met when they were at school and blah, blah. It's weirder things. I think there's one... A story apparently about one of the Beatles who bought a building company so they'd do his roof, things like that. So it's sort of
really
sort of odd things, chance meetings, encounters, and all that sort of thing, like a scrapbook
sort
of
tangential. Very good. Oh, yes, I should definitely give that a go.
It's time we had a look at some emails. Is there anything that caught your eye this week?
There's lots and lots of nice emails, and yes, there are. Whereas, as we've said before, there are lots of people walking their dogs listening to our podcast. Louise Floodgate, interesting surname, says that she is going to make a t-shirt which says on the front, "Do not speak to me, I am listening to Older and Wider."
Oh,
that's
like
a good
that
idea.
We could get quite a few of those made for all the dog walkers.
Yeah, we could, couldn't we? I mean, we want to see a picture of that. The focus group team, whatever that is, say that they're listening while crocheting and that we help with their anxiety levels. Well, that's very sweet.
We're very glad to do so.
And then Claire Worthy sent us an email saying, "There I was, quite happily, potting up some herbs and geraniums, listening to my weekly fix and Jenny was telling everybody the book that she was reading. Yeah, like you always do. Yeah. Shock horror, she says, nearly dropped one of my favourite clay pots and yelled, Judith, I can't believe you have never read I Capture the Castle. Yeah, all right. And then she says,
you are the one with the English degree, Judith.
Yeah, yeah, I don't rub it in. And then she goes on to say, Mr. Sausage Fingers, which came from your thing about Jeff's fingers, came running when I yelled, wondering what was wrong. Yes, exactly. So that's great fun. And then just finally, can I just say, Sue Watts, 72 and a half, has asked for the podcast, all the back catalogue, to be downloaded onto her iPhone while she's having chemo. So good luck, Sue Watts. And what an honour. What an honour to be downloaded in that way. I hope we don't, you know, we don't regret that, Sue.
And listen, we're sending love and luck and all best wishes to everybody who's listening. And just a quick reminder before we sign off. What do we have to remind them to do, Judith?
We have to remind them. Yes, we have to remind them, please, two things. To vote for us in the best podcast
In the People's Choice, because we haven't been nominated for anything else. I'm livid about that.
I know. We'd like something. And also send us emails and Instagrams, and the email address is olderandwiderpod@gmail.com.
And my challenge to you this week, Judith, is hard. I'm just going to say my challenge to you is to download I Capture the Castle on your Audible.
That is already on my list, but yes, consider it done. Very good idea. Lovely.
I shall test you on chapter one next week.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Much love. And thanks to Daisy. Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in or downloading or whatever. We will love you and leave you, and we will speak to you again next week. Yeah. Judith, take care and have fun.
And you, Jenny. Lovely to talk to you. Doodle bit. Bye.
Bye-bye.